Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to superhumanradio.com today and listen to Superhuman Radio live at 1 p.m. Pacific weekday.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we'll be talking with Brad Schoenfeld. Looking great naked is the topic. Who doesn't want to look great naked? We all want to look good on the beach. But let's face it, the ultimate is to be able to take your clothes off, look in the mirror and go, damn, I look good. And Brad's going to help us reach that pinnacle. Then we're going to change it up a little bit. And we're going to be joined by Dr. Kelly Starrett for his new book, Becoming a Supple Leopard. And this is really an interesting book. It takes mobility to training to a completely new level. I'm really excited about that interview, too. So let's get started. How you doing, Brad Schoenfeld?
I'm doing great, Carl. Great to be back.
And let's face it, right? We all look good with clothes on, but the ultimate goal is to take your clothes off and like what you see, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of times people poo-poo and put down the fact that people train for aesthetic reasons. I mean, bodybuilding often gets a bad rap, but who doesn't want to look great? So, first of all, it's been shown over and over, when you look good, you feel good. So, to me, there's not only nothing wrong with that pursuit, but really it is something that everyone should strive for, because it's going to improve your mental outlook as well as your physicality. And people judge you by the way you look.
Yes.
We can poo-poo that, and we can say, people shouldn't. Bottom line is, first impressions are made by everyone. People will judge you by your appearance.
Listen, there was a study just published that was that I have a copy of here that was sent to me by Adele Musa, showing that doctors don't bond with their obese patients. They don't like their obese patients. Hmm. I mean, if the doctors don't even want to bond with their obese patients, what does that say about, not the doctors, but what that body type conveys on a subliminal message, on a biological message, on a primal message to the person looking at it? And the opposite is true of when you look at somebody who's lean and muscular and well-balanced and well-proportioned. The exact opposite occurs. You are attracted to them.
Yeah, there's no question. And obviously aesthetics dictate much of how we pursue our mates and even other relationships just that we have. So there is no getting around it. And I don't think that it is something. I think people are, a lot of times, like I said, it gets a bad rap that you're only training. And by the way, I also do want to point out, which is another blatant misperception, is that if you train for aesthetics, you do not get functional and health-related benefits, which is just bunk, that there is a continuum. Now, obviously, if you're going to be an athlete, you're not going to train like a bodybuilder, but certainly training like a bodybuilder can help make you more athletic. So it's not you just train for muscle, and it's non this thought that bodybuilders are non-functional. I mean, I've seen bodybuilders do backflips. So it's simply silly to say there is, like I said, it's a continuum. And I'm not advocating that you want to train like a bodybuilder if you are a baseball player. But I will say that just being a bodybuilder will tend to make you more athletic. It will certainly make you more functional. You know, show me a bodybuilder that can't lift packages or, hold up their children. So, I think we do need to have some sense here. And some of the things that are promoted in magazines really are just not in line with what science shows us.
Okay, let's do something real quick. Well, not real quick, but let's look at men and women separately for a second.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the female body, what are the attributes that need to be emphasized? For instance, let me preface this by saying, look, I know guys out there that are hypermuscular. Their arms are too big. They don't fit to their shoulders and chest. Or their legs overpower their upper body. So obviously, it's not enough just to get lean. And it's not enough just to be muscular. But you have to be more like a sculptor. You have to emphasize certain things while de-emphasizing other things. So for women, what do you think is the recipe for a woman who looks good naked? It's obviously not a hyper lean woman, because we've seen that in like the in the figure competitors who look hard and grainy and they don't look feminine anymore, right?
Well, here's what I will say to that, Carl. The first thing I always tell anyone when they come to me is that it's not up to me to decide what is an ideal physique. It's up to the person needs to have in their mind, this is what I want to look like. From there, I can help them achieve it. So I don't think that anyone can say what is the ideal male physique or female physique for that matter. It really is, that's specific to the person, because you can look at a woman and I can look at a woman, have different perceptions as to what we feel, and really that woman shouldn't care, or just like I shouldn't care what anyone else thinks, as long as I'm comfortable. So I think really where we need to go is that, hey, if you're a woman and this is what the ideal physique you want, and I must say, obviously, that has to take into account if a woman or a man would say, look, I'm happy being 500 pounds at 5'8". That's not healthy. So, or by the way, which you see with women much more so, is that you'll see women who want to be 80 pounds and they're 5'6". Which is just distorted body image. And that, one thing I always say is that I will never help someone achieve a body that is not healthy, and that would be unethical to help someone achieve that, what would be an anorexic body.
Well, okay, but with that being said, there are some undeniable truths here. Mm-hmm. Not to sound like Al Gore. We know now that a lot of these bikini and figure competitions are won from the back, they say. The women who have nice curvy butts seem to get more applause, if you will, than the women who have leaner or diminished rear ends. And this is clearly something that's primal in us, because the shape of the rear end, the hips, and so on, is something that has attracted the male species since the beginning of time. So it's safe to say that if a woman wants to look really, really good naked, one of the things that she has to pay attention to is a well-developed posterior, which comes from doing the kind of work that women tend not to want to do, like squats and lunges and things like that, right?
Well, yeah. First of all, there's no question. Part of that is obviously the fact that women tend to store more fat in their posterior. My very good friend Brett Contreras is known as the glute guy, and he's made his living and his specialty on basically helping women and female bikini competitors get better butts, and that has, it's been a huge success, and for good reason, because again, women tend to gravitate towards that because men are generally attracted, and again, I'm making a generalization now,
right.
But yeah, men tend to be more attracted. The curvy female physique with wider hips that goes down in history as being something that is more deemed more attractive for males. Now, look, partially I will say that there are certain genetic, we cannot escape our genetics. So there are certain genetic things. If you have narrow hips, there's a lot you can do, like you said, with squatting and lunging and other things to build up the posterior, but you can't change your innate genetics. We can only, as you talked about, we can sculpt what you have to be the best, and this is what I always tell everyone, I can help someone make them the best they can be, but not everyone can have wide hips and a small waist. There is a genetic component to that to some degree, and there is some, we have some, as sculptors, as body sculptors, we do have some
control,
leeway.
Right,
yes.
Because you have the ability to create illusions, like Vin Gironda
Correct.
Talked about, right? So
Correct.
if you don't have that narrow waist, men or women, you can accentuate the shoulders and the width of the back
Exactly.
to create the illusion of a narrow waist, right?
Exactly. And that really, and so that, now going back to what I said before, so a woman basically would say, look, this is what I see in the mirror, I think I'm blocky or whatever. And by the way, this is from, we have to differentiate, too, what someone is wants to be versus what you're talking about, too, I think, and that I can really discuss to a greater extent is competition. Because when you're talking about being, let's say, a bikini competitor, a figure competitor, that there are clear judgmental standards that are that you're judged by. So whether you want to have something or not doesn't matter. It's what the judges are looking for. So
right.
That, then, we can look. Yes, yeah, so if you're then talking about a bikini competition, well, certainly having, like you said, being grainy generally is going to be downgraded. There's the whole push against the women's bodybuilding, which, I mean, if you remember back in the day, which I certainly do, Rachel McLeish and even Corey Everson to a somewhat lesser extent, but generally they had a very, what would be considered a feminine, very feminine
physique.
Yeah,
they had a cross between a figure and a bikini competitor's body,
correct?
And not,
yeah.
Not what the female bodybuilders became.
Exactly, and the push then, because of what bodybuilding, female bodybuilding became, that was where we got the push to first it was fitness, and then it became figure and bikini, and you had all these other subdivisions now that are coming out. So, I think it is, you make a really great point that the women tend to store body fat in their lower halves. That's a nature's natural phenomenon. And when you have body fat, it tends to droop. You know, body fat
gravity.
Is not a, yeah, gravity's going to take over, and body fat is not something that stays firm. So a lot of it is reducing the fat and then, of course, increasing the muscle there, which produces that firmer look. And that is pretty universally considered a necessity for any competition, certainly.
By the way, for the women out there who are focused on doing something about their butt, the Brett Contreras is booked for next week to talk about his new book, Strong Curves. So we'll cover that later. But
and
anyway,
Brett, I will tell you, Brett is the real, when it comes to the lower half, training the lower half, there is no one that knows more about the glutes than Brett does.
Yeah. But okay, so before we go into the break, in your opinion, is there a point of no return for body fat percentages on women? So in other words, women look good with body fat in between this percent and that percent, and when they start getting above and below that, they either start looking heavy and chunky or too lean. Do you have any feels on that?
Well, are you talking for competition or just in general?
Well, let's use competition as the example, because I have a feeling that most women strive to look like the ideal, and the ideal would be the people who are competing. Now, whether they actually achieve that is a different story. Like for bikini competitors, I think the average woman would love to look like a bikini competitor to go on the beach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, around 10%. Now, first of all, when you start with females, there, of course, is the other aspect that if you get below a certain level of body fat, and it's somewhat variable between women, you get amenorrhea, which is a cessation of menstrual period,
right,
which can have decidedly negative effects on health. So you have to be careful. And that generally 10% or so, that's where it hovers around, but it is somewhat differential for different women. Now, if you lose it for a short period of time, or if you get down, let's say, for a competition, that's one thing. If you're carrying around, if a woman constantly carries around 8%, 7%, she's, you know, most probably going to be amenorrheic. So I would say usually in that 10 to 12% on a general level, just carrying it around would be something that a woman could strive for and actually maintain their...
How about men? Opinion. How about where do men find their kind of sweet spot, you think?
I can speak personally. If I'm more than about 7% body fat, and I'd carry around generally, I've not been more than 7% body fat for the past 20 years. That to me, if I can't, you stop seeing your abs generally beyond about 10% body fat.
Right.
That's where your abs start to go. So certainly I would say under 10. And for me, usually it's not 7 to 8% would be a top end range that I generally consider what I'm comfortable at.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. Looking great naked is the topic. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. His website is workout911.com. And for the ladies, there is a specific workout. I'm sorry, website. Hey, Brad, I'm getting tongue-tied here. There's a specific website called lookgreatnaked.com that you can check out as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You train.
train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AmNutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market. The body's ammunition. And nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AmNutrition.com.
Recover!
And nutrition. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
We're talking this hour with Brad Schoenfeld about looking great naked. Everybody wants to look great naked. I want to look great naked. I got to tell you my big problem, and not to derail the discussion, but after ballooning up over 330 pounds, I have a lot of loose skin. I think the only way I'm going to really ever look great naked to myself is to go have some surgery. Either that or take a pair of shears and just cut some skin off myself. But anyway, aside from that, staying with the topic of fat just for a second longer. Mm-hmm. Women have a special kind of fat, and some men get it too, that plagues them and beguiles them called cellulite. Do you have any theories, approaches, comments about what women can do about cellulite? Because some women can have some amount of cellulite even when they start to reach that lean point. Not obviously not once they're at their leanest, it's gone. But short of that, what can be done about cellulite?
Yeah, the cellulite, it's important to realize what cellulite is. It's it actually has to do with the connective tissue that is right underneath the dermis. So
right.
Our top layer of skin is the dermis. Underneath is a sheath of connective tissue called superficial fascia, which basically helps to keep the fat down. It helps to mat down the fat, if you will. And with women, in men, it's very dense, and it's set up in a type of pattern that tends to hold it down better. In women, there tend to be gaps, and these gaps tend to appear more over time. And it's been shown it's about 80 to 90% genetic as far as your propensity to have cellulite. So it doesn't mean, as I'll get to in a second, doesn't mean you necessarily have to get it or you have to get the effects of it. So ultimately, if you have these gaps in the connective tissue, the fat's going to start to poke through the superficial fascia in dimpled layers and poke through the skin. So really the two things that can be done, and this, I'm sure we're not breaking new ground here, but number one is to keep body fat levels low.
Right.
So the less body fat you have, the less there's going to be to crop up through the skin. However, we all know, and I'm sure you've seen women who are lean and still have cellulite, and really that issue is muscle. So muscle helps to kind of support the skin underneath, and it tends to thus diminish any appearance of body fat, and the more muscle you have, the less cellulite generally will appear. Now, look, I will tell you that I've trained some elite professional fitness competitors, figure competitors, who had just traces. If you really look hard, you could still see some dimples because there's a genetic predisposition, and you can't get rid of every ounce of fat.
Well,
so, you know, the more you do, the more muscle you have and the less fat you have, ultimately that's the recipe for reducing cellulite.
Interesting. Something interesting to ponder, too, with some of these athletes that you're talking about. First of all, I understood it to be the same way as you just described, with one slight variation, that men carry their connective tissue parallel to the surface of skin, and women carry it more perpendicular. So you end up with, you ever see those button tufted sofas in your grandmother's house?
Yeah.
Well, think of cellulite as button tufted skin. But you know what really works? If you have a small spot that has some cellulite and you're going to get on stage, an ACE bandage, compressing it. Compressing it for a good 30 to 45 minutes prior to getting up on stage. Now, keep in mind that about an hour and a half later, it will start to show up again. But just kind of squeezing the bejeebers out of it will give the connective tissue some time to recover, but more importantly, squeeze and compress the fat cells that are pushing out.
Correct. Now, so I misunderstood. I thought you meant chronically what you could do. So acutely, there are other treatments. So yes, you're correct. An ACE bandage definitely can work. There's also a technique called endermology, which actually works for sometimes a week or more, where basically you get it's kind of like a rolling pin. This machine that functions like a rolling pin, and it's smooth. It pushes down the fat, but ultimately the fat's going to pop back out.
Right.
So, these are temporary solutions unless you want to get rolled every week.
Every day. That's funny.
By the way, I did want to also mention, just to go back earlier, one of the things that is really interesting, we talked about how if women lose their period, if they get too low body fat, one of the things that is interesting, which is often not understood well, is that estrogen actually has anabolic properties.
Yes.
It is often thought that now obviously it's nowhere near as anabolic as testosterone. That's why women aren't able to build as much muscle. However, it's been shown that estrogen has anabolic properties, and particularly it's responsive to bringing out satellite cells, to increasing the activity and proliferation, the, adding on of new satellite cells. And satellite cells ultimately are what help to promote more protein synthesis and thus increase muscle. So the women who tend to get below too lean and thus lose their period also tend to not be able to put on as much muscle unless they're taking supplemental hormones.
And we see this in animal husbandry. I've talked about this on the show numerous times. When cows are given trenbolone acetate by itself, they will put on X amount of weight in muscle and muscle mass. But when they're given a combination of trenbolone acetate with estradiol benzoate, they will put on three times X muscle in the same amount of time. So we know that that estrogen has an anabolic effect. The thing that I find most interesting is during the whole Barry Bonds anabolic steroid fervor, I actually took a recorder out to a grocery store and was asking people their opinions about anabolic steroids. And one of the questions I would ask the women before asking them their opinions about anabolic steroids was, are you on HRT? And quite a few of them said, yes, you know, I take estrogen and progesterone. But after getting their opinions, which were always negative, oh, anabolic steroids are terrible, they're dangerous, I would say to them, do you realize you take anabolic steroids? And they say, no, I don't. I say, yeah, estrogen is an anabolic steroid. And they would look at me incredulously like I was crazy, like that couldn't be. But they don't realize that it does have anabolic effects, and especially in concert with other androgens as well. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, and it's been well documented in the research.
Okay, there's a phenomenon that has become very, very popular in the goal or the quest to look good naked. I call it the G.I. Joe lower abs. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
I want those, Brad. How do I get them?
Well, first of all, there's a couple issues here. Number one, people tend to store body fat, especially males, they tend to store more body fat in the lower region. So obviously it is going to be a question of getting very lean. But the other thing that's important to realize is that the abdominals, the rectus abdominis, is a tapered muscle. So it starts off large on top and then gets smaller and smaller towards the bottom.
Right.
And it's also not as thick, so there is less muscle to build. Now, the question then becomes, and this is actually a really interesting topic, can you target your, or can you, certainly you cannot isolate muscles. I think we talked about this last time. You can
right.
never isolate them but give them muscle. But can you target the upper versus the lower abs? And there is some controversy here, but the overwhelming evidence, I feel, based upon what I've seen, I also do EMG research, and I've seen this in non-published work that I've done, is that, yes, you can target, selectively target, if you perform exercise that involves a posterior pelvic tilt, like a reverse crunch. Now, it's not just a leg raise. People, one of the problems with some of the research, they'll say, well, we did leg raises and showed no increased lower abdominal activity. Well, a leg raise is pure hip flexion. So in order to actually activate the lumbar region, you need to engage a posterior pelvic tilt, and there's good evidence that you can. Now, to the extent that that is going to have huge differences, that's questionable. And the other thing is you really need to overload it. So doing just a gazillion reps isn't going to help if you can do that. It really has to be done with increasing the resistance, doing weighted reverse crunches, et cetera. And I certainly have helped bodybuilders and figure competitors increase the muscle in their lower abdominal region. It takes work, and it also involves low body fat levels, which is paramount.
Yeah, and the low body fat is really it. And for those of you who are not clear what we're talking about, you remember G.I. Joe, you could see where its legs fit into its upper body, and its upper body tapered down to the groin. And we have a lot of people out there, guys and girls, who will pull their pants down to show their lower abs, and you'll see that definition and that separation between the hip flexor muscles and the lower region of the ab. And it's become so desired to look that way that people are striving for it. So let me ask you this, Brad. Do you put any stock in these electronic stimulation devices? We picked up a sponsor recently, and they sent me a unit about a month and a half ago, and I've been using it for recovery purposes after training muscles. And I find that it really does stop any soreness from occurring. Any chance that I could use those on the lower abs?
Okay, so yes. Well, yes for recovery, no for it generally speaking, to get a training effect, you have to really jack up the voltage where it's not going to be comfortable. They do this in rodents, et cetera, but in humans, it's a good recovery, and there's actually some good science showing that it has benefits for things like recovery and for rehabilitation purposes. But the thought that it's going to really help to build muscle appreciably, I have not seen effective research showing that, and I think it might not be safe in that respect. That
turning it up too hot.
You can get burns. Yeah, you can get burns.
I know. I call it, every now and then if I turn it up a little bit too high, I get bit. It feels like it's biting me. I got to stop it. It's like it's that powerful. But yeah, no, I have been very cautious on where I've applied it. I have some problems from being on HRT for so long, both of my hips from injecting for years now have become solid lumps of muscle. A lot of scar tissue. So I've stopped injecting in my hips, and I use this thing on my hips, and lo and behold, I got to tell you something. These welts or lumps, whatever you want to call them, in the muscles are actually starting to go away. But when I'm sitting there watching television, I have them hooked up. It actually makes, like when I'm sitting there, it flexes my hip muscles, makes me turn my knees in like every couple seconds. Ba-boom, ba-boom. It's the weirdest thing, but it's working. So what can I say? Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Brad Schoenfeld about the recipe for looking good naked. In the meantime, you can visit his website, workout911.com, to learn more. We'll be right back.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state of the art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need: small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bar, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
If you didn't hear the show the other day on the Myers cocktail alternative, the Altrian cocktail, you missed a really great show. For performance, for disease management, The Myers cocktail is being used by tens of thousands of naturopaths. You can have a Myers cocktail every single day in the comfort of your own home without sticking an intravenous needle in your arm. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Altrient cocktail banner ad to learn how the Altrient C and Altrient ME deliver the same benefits as a Myers cocktail for a fraction of the cost. My guest this hour is Brad Schoenfeld. We're talking about what it takes to look great naked. So, Brad, does it all start in the kitchen? When we talk about looking great naked, is it really just a function of diet more than anything else?
Well, I personally feel it's 50-50. If you want to attach percentages, we can quibble there, but it's really pretty much an equal combination of both. You're certainly not going to look great naked if you don't work out, and you're certainly not going to look great naked if you big out. So there is a balance between the two.
Okay, so looking at it from that standpoint, would you suggest that both men and women who want to achieve the type of body form that they will be proud of in a bathing suit or even naked, would you say that they have to focus a greater degree on diet than exercise? I mean, as long as they're exercising, they're lifting, they're getting into the gym, that's good, but the diet equation, because it seems to me that getting lean is really where the magic is for looking good naked. Am I wrong about that?
Well, okay, so there's two things here. If you're talking about from a body fat perspective, yes, that's going to be much more so in your kitchen than it is exercising, unless you're exercising ridiculously, if you're a Biggest Loser where you're doing 8 hours a day. And by the way, if you're doing that, you're going to become overtrained and have a negative effect. So bottom line is that to get lean, that will mostly rely upon your what you're eating. And is that all of being looking great naked or most of it? I wouldn't say so, because I think having muscle is extreme. We know plenty of people who are skinny and flabby, and I don't particularly think that's an attractive look. So, again, trying to quantify that as to which is more important, I think they're both really important. But from a leanness perspective, you need to watch your diet. And really, here's what I will say about that, because nutrition is certainly one of my big hobby horses. I minored in it in my master's program, and I've done extensive research and published. Actually, I have a lot of new research coming out with nutrient timing on this. But it really boils down to caloric intake. You know, there's so many diets, and people are selling all sorts of intermittent fasting. There's low carb, there's high carb. It all comes down, if you're looking for 90% of getting lean, eating fewer calories than you're expending. It's the basic first law of thermodynamics, and anyone that tries to say that that is not an issue simply isn't paying attention. So now, I'm not saying there aren't other issues with nutrients. Certainly all nutrients are not the same. And again, I don't want to be misquoted here or miscommunicate that there is importance to nutrients, a lot of importance, but certainly from a short-term perspective, if not somewhat to a long-term also, it is managing your caloric intake.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. You know, I used to be one of those guys, well, as long as you don't eat a lot of carbs and you're not spiking insulin, it doesn't matter how much you eat, you're not going to gain body fat. And then I realized I was wrong. And even some research that we've had spotlighted on the show, most notably just yesterday, we had a doctor from Boulder, Colorado on, and they did a study looking at human subjects with short duration sleep, and it was a double blind. Well, it wasn't blinded, obviously. You knew if you were sleeping or not, but it was a cross. It was a crossover study where some people were allowed to sleep the requisite 8 to 9 hours, and some were forced to sleep 5 hours or less. And then they switched. The ones who were sleeping 5 hours or less were allowed to sleep 8 to 9 hours, and the ones who were sleeping 8 to 9 hours in the beginning of the study were forced to sleep 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And what they found out was that those who slept less expended 5% more energy, but consumed at lib, because they were allowed to eat whatever they wanted, without even consciously thinking about it, 6% more energy.
Right.
So they were actually eating 1% more energy than they were burning. And let's face it, the body is doing this instinctively. It's saying, wow, if you're going to keep this up, we're going to have to pack on a little weight, because who knows when this is going to end.
Yeah.
So it is calories. Calories definitely play a role. You know, I Keckwick and Pawan had found out one thing, that not all calories are created equal.
Correct.
But in the realm of eating the right macronutrient ratios, calories play a major role in your ability to lose body fat.
First of all, they play the dominant role. And here's another thing that's real interesting, which is one of my real interests in the future, and we're going to see a lot more of this, is nutrigenomics. And so while calories do play the most important part, the dominant role, there is no ideal diet that everyone should follow. And this has been, they now have these cheek swab kits that you can buy, and I'm not convinced that they actually, that the technology is there, but it will be at some point. And here's the rub, that some people just respond better to lower carb diets, some people respond better to higher carb diets, and some people are kind of in the middle, and it's just like everything else. We're very similar. We have 98% of the same gene pool, but it's that 2% difference that makes a big difference between us. And I think what we're going to see, that we will be able to, over the next decade or so, really target a diet, a personalized diet that is right for ourselves. And we can say, now whether people will actually follow that diet is another matter. And that ultimately is what dictates whether your adherence is 100% of everything. Because if you don't follow a diet, you can have the best diet in the world. If you're not following it, it doesn't do any good.
Well, but, and you know what? And that speaks to the ancestral movement. And the reason I say that is because my interpretation of ancestral eating is eating the way your ancestors ate for you and eating the way my ancestors ate for me, not eating the way all people ate back at a certain period of time. Because if you evolved in a region of the world where there was no sunlight or very little sunlight and fish was the staple, then your epigenetic changes as a result of being exposed to that are different than mine. If I was raised in Kenya and was forced to eat grubs and roots and like the Maasai, you know, drink the blood of my animals to stay alive. You put me in a Western diet, I'm going to balloon up really, really fast.
Yeah, and I mean, we could just look at the fact that certain nutritional conditions are specific to ethnicities. Lactose intolerance is very high in Asian populations. There's just different ethnicities, and obviously that is related to how they were to their ancestral lineage. So you're certainly right on there. Now, is that 100%? No, because genes do get intermingling with different people, and it's hard to then start to factor everything in, and there's recessive genes that can come out. But for the most part, absolutely, it's going to come down to who your parents were. Not, you can't just give a generalization.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we will wrap up this interview with Brad Schoenfeld. Stay tuned later in the show. We'll be talking with Dr. Kelly Starrett about becoming a supple leopard. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
With the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge
cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Calling all men.
The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can see eye drops. The name says it all.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. His website is workout911.com. Lots of great information, blog posts, articles, podcast episodes, everything you need right there to get the kind of information you're looking for to help speed your progress to looking great naked. Now, we've talked about diet and getting lean, but let's face it. I've seen people come out of concentration camps that are lean as hell, but I don't want to look like that, and that doesn't look good naked either. So there has to be a muscle component to looking great naked. I think broad shoulders, tapered back, narrow waist, nice glutes, thick hamstrings and quads and proud calves. All these things are what show up when you get lean if you did the right thing. Right, Brad? Yeah, absolutely. And I know we had talked earlier on break about the nutritional component of that. And one of the things that is really somewhat of a myth that has been perpetrated a lot is the anabolic window of opportunity, which you hear about often, which is what you should eat post-workout, and that there is this, certainly amongst bodybuilders, it's so prevalent where they're going to gobble down and they're so anal about it, they'll be carrying around their protein powder and their grape juice or whatever their juice preference is, and as soon as their workout is over, they have to shovel down that protein and carb into their body to get to maximize the anabolic response. And I actually just co-authored an article with Alan Aragon, which is in the journal, and it's for free. People can access it. The Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition, published a couple months ago. And we actually delved into all of the research on it, and there really is no good supporting research. This is something that's been taken as gospel over the years, and really the research is, I'd say, less than sketchy. It's pretty much almost non-existent that there is this beneficial effect. And by the way, my lab is actually doing some more research. It's just there hasn't been a lot of research. It's kind of been one of these things that's taken as gospel. But some of the take-home points that we came with is that it really, in some of the studies, that there were a couple of isolated studies showing a benefit, and the issue was is that it was after an overnight fast. And you really can't glean anything if you're on an overnight fast. Just, of course, taking in nutrients post-exercise is going to have a huge anabolic effect. And anyway, our conclusions based upon the data were that you have probably a window of anywhere between 4 to 6 hours. There is a sensitivity to the muscles are sensitized to increased protein synthesis, certainly post-exercise, and feeding will enhance this response. But it really depends upon what you're eating before. And if you're on an overnight fast and getting food in immediately after, especially protein, which is the most important component, immediately after the exercise bout, it is imperative. But if you've had a meal before, you really want to look at it as a peri-workout window. And let's say you have your meal 2 hours before, well, there's going to be a 4 to 6 hour window. So anywhere between 2 to 4 hours after that really would be that where the outer end of that window for the post-workout period would suffice. And you really don't have to be as anal as so many people are thinking about it. And the other interesting thing, it's always been proposed that carbohydrate intake is really important post-exercise for repleting glycogen stores and enhancing the insulin response. And this is simply not true. And there's actually virtually no evidence that that taking carbohydrate with protein will enhance the anabolic response. And one of the things that is often goes misunderstood is that protein is an insulinogenic nutrient.
Right.
So protein will increase significantly the insulin response. You don't need carbohydrate to enhance that. And there's a threshold. So protein will enhance the insulin response. It's like if you don't need to bombard your body from an insulin perspective. There is this threshold, and you get enough of the increased insulin response post-exercise just through protein alone.
Well, doesn't whey protein undergo rapid gluconeogenesis anyway?
Well, it does. Now, whey protein as opposed to, and this is another
isolate. I mean like isolate, because I take a, okay, answer that question, and I'll tell you what I do, and you critique it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so whey protein is what's called a fast-acting protein. It gets into the bloodstream very quickly and certainly can be used to a greater extent for gluconeogenesis and for other, anyway, it can, not to get too technical on that, but it certainly can enhance that, and it is a very insulinogenic because it gets into your system more quickly than whey, casein, which clots in your system and has a more time-released response. So taking whey protein, and that's most of the studies have looked at whey in terms of this, and there are certain, one of my actually pet projects is to do a study and looking at the difference on how casein would respond versus whey.
Okay, so here's my post-workout drink, and I also have to reveal a peptide concoction that I use with it because it's important to understand. So post-workout, first of all, before my workout, I eat 4 raw eggs, and I've been doing this for quite a long time now, and I find that I can tolerate raw eggs, no problem. They don't give me any GI issues, and they create a sense of satiety for me, but they do not weigh me down as if I had cooked those 4 eggs and eaten them before my workout. With that, I do a grueling workout. As soon as I get out of the workout, I give myself an injection of a combination of growth hormone, IGF-1, and GHRP, and then I eat an apple. I wait about 20 minutes for the GHRP to start working, and I can tell because I start getting hungry. And then I eat an apple. And I eat the apple for 2 reasons. Number one, because a small amount of fructose has been shown to improve glycogen resynthesis in the liver when it's met with some glucose, which means that right after I eat the apple, I drink a 60 gram made up of 40 grams of whey, 20 grams of casein, 60 grams of whey protein only, and no other carbohydrates other than the apple. Now, my thinking is the whey protein hits the bloodstream as glucose, and the glucose and fructose from the apple cause an adequate amount of resynthesis of glycogen while giving me that little bit of an insulin spike post-workout. Plus, the IGF-1 is acting like an insulinogenic aid as well. And the growth factors are going to help me rebuild and repair and recover faster. What do you think of that?
Well, again, there's certainly nothing wrong with it. I would say that, again, the just protein alone, it would be sufficient. Not that there's certainly anything. Having a meal afterwards is fine, too. But there's no need to spike insulin beyond. It was there is a threshold. What the studies really do clearly show is that once you hit this insulin threshold, beyond that, and insulin, by the way, we know is not really anabolic unless you're taking insulin as shots, which is
dangerous.
Obviously, yeah, a lot of dangers. But it's mostly anti-catabolic. Basically, it reduces the protein breakdown. And if you get enough protein, the sufficient protein, which, by the way, is about what we found was about a quarter gram per pound of body weight should be your should be included in the post-workout. It should equate to somewhere around. Now, taking in more is not bad. It won't hurt you in any way. Taking in less might reduce that anabolic response. You want to, I'm not sure the, obviously the grams per pound that you're talking about, but really that's what you want to make sure. And it sounds like you're certainly adequate there. And as soon as you, as long as you do that, you're going to get the anabolic response is going to be what you're looking for. You're not a lot of this other stuff. At least from what we see in the research now, that does that mean that there might not be other things we can do? We just don't know. The real problem is that most of these recommendations are based upon research that hasn't been done. So we can have hypotheses, we can have anecdotal claims. They really need to be studied, and I will tell you, I've experimented with all sorts of things, and it gets very difficult when we talk anecdotally to try to separate what we're seeing because we're not controlling for other factors. So with what might be confounding factors that are influencing other things they're eating, other training methodologies, genetics, et cetera. So I can just say, it really, we're, and as I mentioned, I'm in the process of conducting some of this research in my lab. We really need just a lot more research on this topic, and a lot of what you do here in the popular literature or the popular magazines simply is based on conjecture.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that. You know, this is like a N equals one type of a study. Right. A million, yep. But a million times over, there's all these little N equals one studies happening at the same time. All right, so in summary, looking good naked requires one very important factor that if you haven't gathered it from this discussion, it requires dedication and hard work. Yep. You're never going to look good naked by taking raspberry ketone pills, by taking fat burners, by buying the P90X workout but never using it, or any of these kind of things. That if you really, really want to look good naked, you can. I don't care who you are. You could be 300 pounds right now. You have to be realistic about how long it's going to take you to look good naked. So the first thing is to be realistic. And the second thing is that you have to apply yourself and be dedicated about how you eat and how you train. And you will get there. But that's really the magic, isn't it, Brad?
I couldn't have said it better, Carl. That really, you hit the nail on the head. It comes down to dedication and effort. And I have never worked with anyone. I've worked with literally several thousand people over the years. Never met anyone who could not look great naked within their own genetic framework.
Yeah.
And significantly improve their physique.
Yeah. It's a good discussion. It's an important discussion. We all want it. How bad do you want it? That's the question you have to ask. Do you have it? Do you want it bad enough to put yourself through maybe 16, 20, 24 weeks of dedicated getting to sleep on time every night, eating your five or six meals that you have selected to eat every single day, not being derailed by friends' parties, not being derailed by silly reasons to get derailed, getting to the gym every day that you're supposed to go and train, doing cardio when you're supposed to. You have to do it. Nothing is a stronger effector than consistency. If you are an alcoholic, you have to be consistently drunk for months, weeks, years to become an alcoholic. If you are obese, as I was at a large portion of my life, I had to be consistent to reach 330 pounds. Every day for years, without thought, on autopilot, I ate the way I ate to bulk into 330 pounds of fat mass. And the same is true of changing your outcome and getting healthy, and the same is true of looking great naked. It just takes consistency. The information's out there. Websites like Brad's, Workout 911, go there. Pick the salient important factors that you need, but then apply something that Brad cannot give you on the website, and that is consistently apply it day in and day out until you reach your goal. Brad, thank you so much for being on the show today, brother.
Oh, my pleasure, Carl. Again, would love to do it again. You're always a great host.
And we will do it again. Take care.
You too.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we will talk about becoming a supple leopard. What does that mean? We'll be right back.
The leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com. For the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The Power Patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the Power Patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the H-Force banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the H-Force way. Power Patch. New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula and nutrition's basic training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition and nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
And nutrition.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Okay. When you think about a leopard, you think about this cat. Usually they are relaxed, maybe sitting under a tree. Then all of a sudden something piques their interest and they explode. Their body stretches and expands. It's like muscularity in fluid motion. As they pick up speed, they can turn left, turn right, and attack their prey. And then moments later be completely relaxed again. I think that my next guest, Dr. Kelly Starrett, was trying to exemplify this in his new book, Becoming a Supple Leopard. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really great. And I want to tell people something up front. We've talked about mobility workouts in the past. And I think even I've gotten lost by them. Like, you know, okay, you know, so I got to make sure that my ankles rotate well and all that sort of stuff. But what Kelly has done is he's taken mobility workouts and made them the workout. So you don't have to choose, like, am I going to do mobility work this morning or I'm going to work out? This is really great. This is a really, really good book. Tell me what inspired you to write this book, first of all.
Well, here's the deal. I run a strength and conditioning center. I have San Francisco CrossFit. Since we've been open, we estimate we've done 80,000 athlete sessions. I have a clinical doctor and a physio, and at the same time, I go behind the scenes of every university, of every major sports team, I've been every tier one asset, all the branches of the military, all the rehab centers. It turns out no one is a unique flower. Everyone has the same set of problems. And in my clinical practice and with working with the best athletes in the world, we were seeing the same sets of problems.
And what are those problems, Kelly?
Well, those problems were people didn't understand where they were dumping torque. They didn't understand where they were bleeding force. They didn't understand where they were giving away performance. And they didn't understand that also that was why they were getting injured. They were moving inefficiently. And the problem is we say, oh yeah, we kind of give lip service to technique. But when we break down position, what we really are looking at is sort of two big components. One, do you have the skill to be able to express what you're supposed to do? And can you do it, right? And then the second aspect of that is biomechanics. And what we were finding is that people didn't have the software. They were bone on bone. They were making their internally, they were cleverly solving all of the bad mechanical problems, and still winning gold medals. And then at the same time, they had this horrible, horrible biomechanics where we saw people living, missing 50% range of motion here, dumping, horrible stiff tissues here. And guess what? They were pain-free, they were still the best in the world, and our contention was they were still leaving performance on the table. So what we did was I started a video a day just addressing these common concepts. This is what the original mobility project we started through our website a few years ago. And, if I can just take off and take the ease and slack out of the system, if you understand that, you're missing ankle range of motion, this is a fundamental kind of human capacity. It's affecting your squatting. It's affecting your capacity to run. You're making horrible movement compromises because of it. You've torn your ACL. You've torn your Achilles. You've got plantar fasciitis. Why? Well, you are designed for survival and you're badass. You're still going to work around these problems no matter what. So if we just take those problems off the table and could expose them in the context, because here's the problem. We never looked at position as a skill. We just assume that our athletes can get there, and it's kind of a side effect. We're like, yeah, roll out or stretch. I mean, how much time did I waste on a white foam roller? Like a ridiculous amount of time in my life that I'll never get back. I'm kind of pissed.
Right.
This foam roller, like someone duped me. And what ended up happening is I started realizing that we did not have a template to start to address our pain dysfunction or even a way to understand it. Really smart people have taken a crack at this for thousands of years, from the yogis talking about what the best shoulder position was and their overhead. When they weren't aligning the chakras, they knew what the physiology of the human being was. Every group of athletes, every group of coaches has figured this out before. If you're an Olympic lifter, it's armpit forward, swim the elbow pit forward. When you're elbow forward, when you're lifting overhead, you're bench pressing, you're breaking the bar. It doesn't matter what the language is. The language is expressing, the language of coaching is expressing the physiology of the human being.
Right.
The problem is we haven't had a really good way of looking at the actual movements in the language that people speak, which is, look, I want to leverage your lifetime of experience, serious experience. I don't need you to give you correlates for movement, right? My whole background as a physical therapist is I learned 15,000 correlates for lumbar stability. I can side lie you and side shear and look at your SI and hear the, I can watch you initiate the first 6 inches of your squat or watch how you set up on your deadlift. All of that makes it very clear to me. So when we start empowering coaches and athletes to understand the movements and then understand, start asking the question, well, is it just an issue of, hey, I can't do that because I don't know how to do that? Well, let's fix that, right? That's called coaching. And then, boy, I physically can't do that. Well, that's an issue of biomechanics. And to your point, what we've tried to do is say, hey, look, warming up is warming up. That's getting prepped. The real question we ask is, look, I run a diagnostic tool every single day I train. If I'm squatting heavy, that's my diagnostic tool today. What I find is, where were the corners that I was missing? What was difficult? Why was I inefficient? And then what we end up having people do is focus on those positions as skills. So what I'm asking people to do is say, do you have full physical capacity as a human being, yes or no? And the answer is no, you can't do what a human being should do, and then fix it. It takes 15 minutes a day. We work that 7 days a week. There's no such thing as a day off. Why? Because I am obsessed with lifting more weight quickly, with running faster, with swimming farther. This is the language of being human. And we test this on the best athletes in the world. I mean, we have gold medals and Olympics. We work with Olympic champions, we work with world record holders. I mean, just, you know, we test these theories in battle, we test them on the field. I mean, this is just, it's not bullshit.
Okay, so, will I have to become weaker before I become stronger if I start?
No. Oh, let me stop you right there. That's
a big misunderstanding, right?
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Just because you're doing it poorly, just because it's harder doesn't mean it's not better. And what you're seeing is, look, you have taken a shortcut, and at some point, I'm going to have to undo that shortcut. And that shortcut with your crappy bench technique when your elbow flies out, right, that allows you to accomplish the task. I got the task done, yes or no, one or zero. It's like saying, hey, I made you some toast, but it burned down the house. No big deal, right? Eventually, I'm going to have to teach you to make toast without also burning down the house. Because people come to us for two reasons. One, that they're losing, and the second reason is that they're injured. And either one of those things, I'm going to have to fix your technique. Just because you're less effective with the new technique doesn't mean that that technique is not better. And the technique, remember, is not theoretical. It's the expression.
Uh-oh. I think that we lost Kelly. He is on a cell phone. We're going to go ahead and take our break 30 seconds early, and I will get him back on the phone here. So stay tight. You're listening to Kelly Starrett on Superhuman Radio. We're talking about his new book, Becoming a Supple Leopard. It's available at Amazon.com. It's actually made number 7 on the Amazon.com bestseller list right now. It's also available at Barnes & Noble. And you can go to the website MobilityWOD.com. Which is the support site for the book. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. We'll get Kelly Starrett back on the phone.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The power patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the power patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the AgeForce way. Power patch.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back.
I want to see a peaches, baby.
Oh, man. We're having real problems. Hold on. All right, welcome back. We have Kelly Starrett on the line. How long, we don't know, but we're going to try our best to keep him on now. All right, so this is the beauty of, I call cellular telephone technology conversations on the installment plan. But anyway, let's break down a particular movement that is a big favorite of mine and many of the people in the audience, the deadlift, right? So what do you see most common in people who have not been coached for the right technique in the deadlift? What are the biggest mistakes they make?
How about this? That they have never actually deadlifted in their lives. So one of our ideas is that if you are moving correctly, you have to come out unharmed of the movement at one rep or at a million reps. It doesn't matter. You know, if you talk to Andy Bolton, Andy has never hurt his back deadlifting. And the reason is it's not a back lift, right? It's a hip lift. It's a hamstring lift. And so one of the nice things about the theory that we kind of look at, we teach movement principles, is that the best pullers in the world, their expression of best technique really ends up mimicking the best expression of the human physiology. For example, if you look at someone like Jesse Burdick is a really good friend of mine. He's a fair puller. He pulls like 830, 840, right? He's a pretty good puller. And if we look at his setup, you know, is that, you know, and we start to translate the language of Louis Simmons, you know, start where you finish. So Jesse starts up top. He spends a ton of time getting his feet straight. Laura Phelps, same thing, really getting his feet into a position where he can create a ton of torque in the hip. So one of the things that happens then, he brings his hands up into that zombie position, right? And when he brings his hands up into that zombie position, what he's really doing is taking the flexion load out of his thoracic spine, idealizing his head position, idealizing his thoracic position, and basically loading the spine into as good a position as possible with as few loads on it as possible. So when you start rounded at the bottom of a deadlift, right, and then try to pull flat, what you're really doing is that you're using a whole set of musculature to try to pull the spine into an extended.
It's kind of like pushing a spring down and the spring bows out and then trying to push the bow back into place beneath the spring.
You nailed it. You nailed it exactly. I always show this demo. I'm like, take a PVC pipe, go ahead and put a little flex into it. And now go ahead and try to straighten it out by hooking, you know, something in the middle of it. What we see then is that we've introduced a whole bunch of force robbing shear forces on that spine. And now I have one or two segments that are not ideally positioned. Remember, these are complex motor patterns, and I want to have the same setup in the same best position every time. I don't want to have 15 different setups. This is why people sometimes will make a lift, have a bad day, something's going on. And sometimes it's not their nervous system, it's the fact that they're pulling from a different position.
Inconsistency. It's like a pitcher. A pitcher is only a major league pitcher when he can consistently pitch the same ball over and over again. And he usually does the same, he does the same thing every single time. He touches his hat, he rubs his eyebrow, he grabs the ball, you know, it's like that whole setup is part of the ritual that then leads to the launch of the ball. And the same is true of when you deadlift or do any lift, I guess.
I completely agree. So when we see athletes, for example, their butt comes up a little bit high right when they pull, right? Oftentimes, you know, right then we have an error. So from every movement, we can spend 15,000 years working on the rest of the drills to get you pulling more effectively, but you already have an error when the bar comes off the ground. So what do we need to fix? Well, it turns out that if we just think about the hamstrings as the prime mover, then what ends up happening is that we really negate the effect of the hip. Donnie Thompson has a great drill. He takes a couple kettlebells, loads his spine at the top, braces his spine, neutral, perfect brace spine, have all your normal curves, loads his hips and hamstrings, right? By screws his feet into the ground.
Wait. How does he load his hips? Does he just kind of break them a little bit?
Yeah, shin is vertical, just like your box squatting. That's
right.
Why that box squat carries over so well.
Right.
Loads the hips and hamstrings, still keeping torque in the ground. Jesse Burdick was one of the first people I heard say out loud, hey, before you set up, are you screwing your feet into the ground? Well, people are like, hey, I'm not squatting here. He's like, why would your hip function differently in a deadlift than different in a squat? The same hip, right?
Wow.
And so if we translate that torque, that foot screwing into the ground, loading the hip, and then using the knees to adjust for position and tension, what we end up doing is we end up kind of always with the same sequence. I prioritize my spinal position, then I load the biggest engines on the body, which are the hips and hamstrings, then I use these knees to adjust, come forward and back to adjust for tensioning in the hamstrings or for tensioning of the lower extremity, right? So, or adjusting for position, which is precisely, for example, how Andy Bolton pulls, prioritizes.
So you're really, what's really happening when you do, and I never thought about this before, but what we, you know, people always talk about, you know, well, the bench press you're at the top, you bring it down, you preload the muscles and you push out. But what you're really doing is you're taking a movement that doesn't have a preload, like the squat or the bench press, and you're preloading it.
Well, of course. And not only that, but we're optimizing the stability of the hip. You know, so when your butt comes up, what's happening is that you are loading, and you're not going to be able to start moving that bar until that hamstring is under peak tension. Your hamstrings are your movers. Your hips set the relationship between your femur and your pelvis.
Right. And you know what I just realized? I'm thinking about the kinesiology of it, right? So if your butt comes up first, your hips are out of it completely.
That's right. Now it's all hamstrings. And we wonder why people have all these hamstring pathologies. They're pulling hamstrings. It's because they're not stabilizing the relationship between the hip.
A guy like me, right? So if I start following the edicts in this book for the deadlift, I do the setup the right way. I start following the guides here. I start paying attention to the key characteristics of the lift and being more technical about it. I lighten up for a while to get my form right, right?
Well, maybe you do and maybe you don't. And that's the key for this book, is that we're always putting into a better position, which is a more effective position. And so you may just change your technique and then PR by 50 pounds, which happens a ton, right? And so what's fun is that, you know, what we can see is we know that your shin should be vertical when you deadlift.
Right.
That's your first pulling position, correct?
Right.
Well, it turns out if you prioritize your spinal position, the knees to adjust for position and tension, our stiff guys are going to realize that their shins aren't straight up and down. And guess what? We can fix that. Now that's something.
Okay, so how do you fix that? Is that ankle flexibility?
Well, in the deadlift, it's not very ankle flexibility. So first thing is we say, hey, are your feet straight-ish enough to create a lot of torque? We see a lot of weird people's one foot is turned out, the other foot is straight.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
We want, in the pulling positions, we want between 0 and 5 degrees. We
right.
need your pulling very straight.
Right, because if you go any further than 5 degrees, you start to take the hamstrings out of the equation, don't you?
Well, you start dumping the hip torque.
Your
hips are turned off. You've muted that function, right? And so the question is, why are you making that movement compromise? Because the deadlift is such a good mid-range. Like, I'm a powerlifting fan, and I believe that people can powerlift until they're 100 because it's very mid-range. Squat is mid-range, you know, back squat is mid-range, deadlift is mid-range, bench press also mid-range. So I can put you into these really, really safe, effective positions. You should be deadlifting the rest of your life. We have a joke. We don't trust our doctors until they can answer the question, how much can you deadlift?
Like, yeah,
you know,
I like that. Really, I like that.
You know, how much can you deadlift? Oh, it's just 315 for reps. And you're like, you're my physician. It's going to be great. Right. So the question is then, you know, if we put that foot into a good position and then create that, the torque, the ankle is not really the limiting factor. What's the limiting factor is not necessarily even hamstring either. We'll see hamstring stiffness, but usually it's end up being hip capsule and hip dynamics. If the hip, if for example, one of the things that people kind of get miffed on is that if I'm using my psoas, a big powerful muscle in the front, to pull me into extension, to pull my back into that over-rounded low back, right, over-curved into the extension curve.
Right.
Right, what we think is a safe back. And what's happening is I'm actually pulling my pelvis to my femur earlier, so my pelvis is tipping forward.
Oh.
And guess what happens? I don't have the same range.
Right.
I cannot. I'm going to run into my femur early, and then that causes a traffic accident, and here's the mechanism for A-Rod having a problem and torn labrum and osteophytes. And you can see all of the classic sports medicine problems are downstream results of hundreds of thousands, if not a million reps, of bad mechanics.
Yeah,
your
right.
body is designed to pick stuff up until you're dead. So what the hell is going on? And what's going on is that we were like, hey, you lifted 215, great, let's make it 225, great, let's make it 400. And instead of really getting into the reasons of why we're doing this, and you know, Andy, for example, I'm just going to come back to that guy because he's such a beautiful deadlifter. Conventional deadlift is so beautiful. He's such a big guy, and he pulls so beautifully. And that technique is perfect. It ends up being that, you know what, he pulled 1,008 like that, you know?
Wow.
And I think it's just such a beautiful expression of moving really well, prioritizing spine, loading his hips and hamstrings, and then being into that optimal position. You should have enough hamstring length / hip length to be able to keep your legs straight and do a good morning and reach down and grab the bar into a stiff-legged deadlift. It's not an accident. The barbell is precisely that height because that's what we call full range of motion. And what's so great about using strength and conditioning movements as a classical form of expressing human movement, it's like the formal language of being a human, is that do you know how much ankle range of motion you should have?
No.
Well, have you ever done a pistol or just gotten to the bottom position of a pistol?
I have not, but I can.
But that's my point, is that you speak that language, and guess what? There is not a single movement on earth that requires more ankle range of motion than a pistol.
Really?
So what's nice is, if you know what the language, I don't care if you can do a pistol, I care that you can get to the bottom position of your squat with your feet together, right?
Right.
Which is why we narrow stance squat to low boxes. It's all there. I can expose your limits of range by putting you into these positions.
Okay, so let's talk about a box
squat perfectly with the physiology of the human.
Let's talk about the box squat just for a second before we go into the next break, okay? So when you're training someone, with this method, the method of employing proper technique to gain greater power from the existing strength you have, which that's what you're talking. What you're talking about here is taking what you have and optimizing it to its fullest potential. Most of us are not reaching our fullest potential because, as you so aptly point out, we have thousands of reps of bad form under our belt. So with that being the case, when you have somebody box squat, narrow stance or wide stance, do you have them actually sit down on the box, unload the hips and the legs, and then roll forward and stand back up? Or are they doing touch and goes more?
Well, so that's a great idea. So let me defer to what the theory says. The theory says I keep tension in my hips. That relationship between hip and spine is set, right? I keep the hamstring loaded. I keep the spine braced. Does that make sense? That's
yes.
what the technique says.
Yes.
Now, if I go ahead and match that with, let's say, Donnie Thompson. Donnie never takes his weight out of his feet. It was a big error that Mark was making, right? And so Donnie kind of says 30-30-30. Like, you know, keep kind of divide that into thirds and then make sure you keep your weight in your feet. AJ Roberts will talk about the fact that, hey, why, if you're rocking, you have to develop the skill of keeping your back, i.e. lumbar spine relationship, right?
From rounding out.
Perfect.
Because
you're just shearing back and forth.
That's what I'm asking, because when I box squat, I have the tendency to want to roll my pelvis under and round out my lower back in order to launch.
How's that go to launch 500 pounds on your back, squashing into a chair? I mean, now it's just like it's sitting on steroids. I mean, that is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Right. So what ends up happening? It's interesting. So, you know, we talk about, yes, I'm saying, can you express the best technique? So Donnie Thompson, trying to break the world record, comes up and trains with Mark Bell. He's missed the world record 3 or 4 times in 3 or 4 meets. He keeps coming forward, and when you have, you know, 1,210 pounds on your back, it's a problem, right? So I'm like, hey, Donnie, you're missing this corner of your hip. You're just missing hip flash. You're just running into your own hip because your hip caps are tight because you squat so heavy, right? You squat 1,000 pounds, over 1,000 pounds once a week, right?
Right.
So, you know, what ends up happening is I show him in the book, we actually call it the Donnie Thompson, this is how we mobilize your own hips, how you fix it, setting the hips, and then he went out and broke the world record the next week and smashed it. He smashed it, what, 1265, and then almost squatted 1300, just the bar slipped down a little bit. So the point is, to your first point, when we put you into a better position, Donnie called me right afterwards. He's like, I didn't even get stronger. I was just in a better position, and I smashed the record. I'm like, that's convenient, isn't it? You know, and so with your idea now is, hey, if I take Donnie didn't like doing his speed squats because he felt like on the speed doubles to the box, he was getting a lot of pelvic wobbliness, right? He herniated a disc 16 months pulling from a rounded position before he set the world record or the all-time total. And so what he found was that doing his speed doubles out of chains from the bottom allowed him to optimize that position. Because what you're describing is that when people are sitting down and rocking and shearing, that is not the idea of the box squat.
My spine
doesn't change position. And I see very few people who have enough kind of wherewithal to sit up with 400 pounds on their back and then rock forward without seeing a change in pelvis-lumbar relationship. Because of that motion, that not only potentially exposes you to injury, because you just can't shear back and forth like that, but robs you of power. So you end up out of spinal position. And if you look, right, remember, what's fun now is where we can look at what the best athletes are doing and connect the knots. Why is it that, you know, Laura Phelps or A.J. Roberts or Mark Bell or Jesse Burdick or any of the guys that we get to work with, why is it they take an hour to take the bar out of the monolith? Well, they know that that first setup position is vital, right? Why is it that you can lift more out of a monolith than walking back? Well, every time you're on a single leg taking a step back out of a rack, you have changed your perfect spinal position, which
right.
you can optimize out of a monolith. So if you're, remember, the goal of squatting is to maintain a neutral spinal position with as many different variations as you can in terms of the torso. So I love front squatting, right? All I'm doing when I front squat is I'm jacking the upright torsoness, and now I'm exposing you to greater range of motion of the hip. Greater motion, range of motion demands at the ankle, right? But you still have to obey the same basic principle. Your torso maintains straight up and down, no changes in position. The same thing with the back squat, the same thing with the deadlift. And so if I'm seeing any breakdown in that fundamental concept of bracing the spine, so we know the spine is the limiting factor, that's an error. That's what we fix.
Yeah, no, this is exciting. You know what? This is exciting stuff. I'm just thinking about it. I'm thinking, you know, people spend so much money on supplements. They spend money on juice. They spend money on all these things that are going to make them, quote unquote, stronger, that are going to allow them to lift more weight. This book should be looked at in the same vein. No pun intended.
Oh,
because this
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm excited. You know, I have aspirations. I'll be 55 this year. And I have aspirations of exceeding a 600-pound deadlift in my lifetime. And I just don't know how I'm going to do it because I keep thinking to myself, man, it's like the work is getting harder and harder. But maybe it's because I'm working against myself. I'm going to employ the tenets in this book and report back to you and see what happens. I've got to get somebody to help me to look at me, maybe video me and see what I'm doing wrong first.
Well, you make two really important points here. First, who is coaching you? Every best athlete, what we engage in the gym is very technical. I don't think people realize how technical the bench press is, for example. It is so technical, right? And yet we just throw children at the bench press and move it up and down. You know, good job. Good
right,
job. That's
right.
Right. So the first thing is, who's coaching you? And if you don't have a coach, and there are extraordinary strength and conditioning coaches in the world, in the United States, we are up to our ass in the best thinkers of this stuff on the planet. So find a coach. That's the first thing, right? get a coaching. If you can't have a coach, work with a bunch of guys who are your training partners and videotape each other and figure it out.
Right.
Got to get that feedback. And most importantly, what you said was the thing that drives the entire concept. This is test and retest. Put yourself into a better position, fix your biomechanics. We expect to see a commensurate change in your output. Do I care about your passive range of motion? Not at all. Do I care about your pain? Not at all. Do I care about your active range of motion? That still means bullshit. What is not bullshit is you expressing the movement in a better position. And that, we know the more effective position is increased wattage, increased poundage, increased reps, decreased time, increased work output. Whatever you do, that's the thing that tells the story. Everything else is mumbo jumbo.
Okay. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up. We're talking with Kelly Starrett. The book is Becoming a Supple Leopard. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at Barnes & Noble and BarnesandNoble.com. And also, you can go to his website, which is a support website for the book called MobilityWOD, WOD.com. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top selling products: Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Kelly Starrett. We're talking about his new book, Becoming a Supple Leopard. When I think about how I want to look and perform, I think about a leopard. I really do. I think that's an amazing image to conjure up of fluid and explosive power. Was that what you were shooting for when you used that as the name of the book?
Yeah, well, you know, one of my friends is a Navy SEAL. And he was like, hey, Kelly, you know, the leopard never stretches. And I was like, well, you know, I appreciate that. But, you know, one is you're not a leopard, you know.
Right.
And two, you're right, the leopard never stretches. The leopard has instantaneous full physical capacity. It has to. It doesn't activate its glutes. It doesn't roll around on a do self-myofascial release.
It doesn't screw its paws into the ground before it chases a gazelle.
No, it does it automatically. Yeah. It doesn't have to think about it. So the real question is, why don't you have full physical capacity? Why is it? You know, we were working with, you know, we can take any position. My All-American swimmers at the local university where we teach, right, this top 10 ranked university where we work, you know, Olympic trials last year, she's working on this position, she can't get the glide, her catch is all off. Well, it turns out she's missing 100% of her internal rotation. The rotation that you could see if she was snatching, interrotation if she was rowing a kettlebell, you could see it in 2 seconds, right, if you know what to look for, right? And just because we've already got the diagnostic tools, they're called movement. It's hard to see in the water. It's easy to see in the gym lab. So we clean up this internal rotation piece, and guess what? Bam! She's immediately second faster. She was so pissed. And
wow.
It's a simple idea. If you're in a good position, the technique carries that additional range. You should have full physical capacity, and if you don't, you know, you're leaving performance on the table. And it's a moving target. You know, people want me to give them a routine all the time. Hey, can you give me a routine? I'm like, yeah. Be responsible for everything that your body should be able to do. That's probably from the head down. And that means this is a moving target. You know, some days you're training, come through a really big squat cycle, or you've been running a ton, and, you know, things are stiff at different times. Some people who are listening are, you know, brilliant athletes, but also sit at a desk, right?
Yeah.
They have to fly. We have police officers who are listening who are forced to sit in that cruiser with that crippling utility belt on, right? They got to get out and fight. So if we know what the compromises are, then we can fix them. You know, you're a golfer listening to this radio. You turn one direction with thousands of reps. What do you think happens to the other opposite hip? What do you
right.
think happens to the opposite hip? You look like a golfer. So guess what? If you start to be able to build your own kind of list, I know what's tight, why I can always compare it the other side. I start to figure out. And the mobilizations that we have in the book are mobilizations that we know work for athletes. You know, if we're not farting around. You know, I was at a really respected conference, and I heard this guy say, hey, look, it takes 8 pounds of pressure to make change in the soft tissue. And I was like, you know what? That doesn't really sit with the fact that when I'm working with, you know, one of the America's best Olympic lifters, I have to stand on his quads and grind them back and forth to make any change in that, you know, gristly tissue. We call that technique smashing. Right? And, you know, it was Glenn Penley who was like, hey, wait a minute, the Chinese are always smashing each other. What's going on? People have worked these things out. We have a set of, you know, tools that matches the theory of how we think the best way the body works, and it's brutally effective. You're not going to be doing 40 minutes of joint mobilizations. Work on a problem. Tomorrow you work on another set of problems.
Right. No, and that's the important thing, because nobody has that much time unless you're a professional athlete. Explain.
Well, and I'll tell you.
Good.
More professional athletes have less time than you think. You know, if you think that this gets taken care of at the NBA or the NFL, you're wrong. Those demands on those athletes' time. And think about Kobe Bryant, right? Just tore his Achilles. So now think about the demands on Kobe Bryant's time. He probably has less time than you do. Less time than I do. He's got to fly around. He's flying place to place. He's got to, you know.
Making commercials.
Oh, that's right. So all of those demands. So he gets behind on some ankle stiffness, and yet his brain still can go as fast as it goes, even though he's 35. So he can't buffer. I'm sure his nutrition isn't always perfect. He's always sleeping in a weird bed. You know, the Ambien behind the sports scenes is insane.
Is that
you know,
right?
Why don't they just
use melatonin and GABA? It works better.
Well, we do. We have some of our elite forces are using that stuff. My point is, you know, these guys, some of these professional teams we work with travel three time zones. What is
yeah,
the sleep circuit
that's
say?
Insane. That's a, I mean, the change in circadian rhythm is confusing to the body.
Well, you got it. So, look, we take these concepts from our best athletes and kind of our Formula One, and we spin them down. How many people listen to this radio station will be on the West Coast one day and the East Coast the next day?
Right.
Miss a sleep, and now you're 30% immune compromised. You're inflamed, right? That means your tissues don't respond. You're a little bit dehydrated. You're flying around at 50,000 feet sitting. Guess what? I know your hips are going to be stiff. I know your tissues are going to be stiff. What's your plan to deal with that? Well, what normally happens is I don't have any pain associated with that change in my physiology. I'm sleep deprived. I'm immune compromised. We know that you're resting, you're fasting blood glucose goes through the roof after one bad night's sleep. You're pre-diabetic after missing a bad night's sleep.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is that you don't have any pain. You go and squat, you go run, boom, something happens. You get started. Ah, now we're in there. So what we have to do is we have to systematically work our way through. If you're an athlete, you need to spend 10 or 15 minutes a day, period. Otherwise, I'm not calling you an athlete. I'm calling you a lie because I know you're leaving performance on the table. And look, when you wear a hole in your kneecap that was designed to be 110 years old, right, and you go see your doctor, and your doctor's like, you got to stop running. And you're like, well, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
Running keeps me insane. And the doctor's like, hey, look, you wore a hole in a bone, jackass.
Well, you think the same thing happens to people who they clearly are not doing the kind of things that would create pro-inflammatory response, but they wear out a hip.
You got it. You nailed it.
Is that a result of bad form year after year after year, squatting, deadlifting, whatever it is?
Well, what we see is it's two ideas. It's lifestyle. I mean, look at what's happened at the best sport. Right now, we have a little TV show we put on called Genetic Potential TV. Dean Karnazes, ultra marathoner extraordinaire, like extraordinary athlete, right?
Right.
He's like, yeah, you got to eat as much whole food as you can. And then if you need to supplement on top of the whole food needs to be your go-to. You know, we just had Forrest Griffin is a friend of ours, you know.
Yeah,
UFC,
I know Forrest, yeah.
Right, you know Forrest. So talk to Forrest. Forrest is like, I do not eat anything processed. My diet, he has friends that hunt for him. He tries to eat as much wild game as he can. He's gluten-free. Why? Because he figured out that he was able to buffer, these things when his diet was organized so he wasn't inflamed. So now we have a ready state for the body that can take the good movement. And who knows how long I can go.
Right.
So,
right.
But what you're seeing is you can only buffer bad movement and bad diet lifestyle into your 30s before you start to break down. And everyone knows that.
Yeah. All right, look, I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, can we just touch on the one joint rule? How about that?
You bet.
Okay, so stay tuned. We're talking with Kelly Starrett. The new book is called Becoming a Supple Leopard. It will actually help you become stronger. Don't think this is think of this as a mobility book. Think of this as a book on refining the way you lift to make you stronger. Think of this as a book that will help you hit those PRs that you're currently buying supplements for and doing other things for to try to hit those PRs. It's a great book. It really, really is. And you get it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can also go to the website MobilityWOD, MobilityWOD.com. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Southern
Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now H-Force is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The Power Patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the Power Patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the H-Force banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the H-Force way. Power Patch. New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. Kelly, what's the one joint rule?
Well, an easy way to think about your spine, especially in these classic strength conditioning, classic movements, is that we should see loaded flexion and loaded extension happen only at the joint that's designed to handle it, which is the shoulder and the hip. And so once we understand and have a template, okay, I put my spine into a good position, and really what I want to do is optimize and optimize how much loading goes to the hip and the shoulder, and minimize how many other movements are happening in the spine. So we typically see hinging at the neck, for example. People hinge, and you see that tissue crease at that kind of neck, thoracic neck, upper back interface. We see a lot of people hinge right at the bottom of the rib cage when they bench press. Instead of arching and creating a global position, we see another hip joint or another extension joint, which is what we call a local extension or local flexion fault. So if you back squat, for example, then the first thing you do is take the rack out and then turn your pelvis under. You take the bar out of the rack and turn your pelvis under. What you've done ostensibly is create three or four or five more hip joints for yourself.
Right.
And so if we look at, you know, an example of, you know, beautiful expression of this concept, it's men's gymnastics rings, which is a ridiculous sport, I understand. But think about how silly it is. All you have to do is lock out your wrist, lock out your elbow, make your rest of your body stiff, and then move your shoulders around. The only thing that moves is the athlete's shoulders. It's ridiculously hard to
find
be so strong, right?
Right.
Why there are five guys in the world who can do that sport. Well, the deadlift is the same. What I want to do is minimize and see no other movement through the spine except for the one joint that's designed to handle those freakish, freakish loads. World record on the squat, 1,024. If you take the spine out of it and you look at the world record for the belted deadlift, it's somewhere over 2,000 pounds, twice as strong. It's ridiculous. You know, and so, when, for example, working with Mark Bell, when he was bench pressing heavier, a little bit heavier weight, you know, he'd get up about 900, and he was breaking in the middle of his back, right underneath his rib cage, right at the bottom, during his arch on the bench, he wouldn't arch, he would hinge. And that hinge, that broken position, is a violation of this one joint rule.
How can you tell the difference between an arch and a hinge? Is it more of an apex than a curve?
You got it. You see it. And
wow.
when you mobilize your thoracic spine, guess what? Mark was, I call him turtly. He was so turtly. He was so stiff in his upper back because of the heavy benching. And this is going to happen. Look, if you put a heavy weight on your back, you're going to get stiff. I mean, how many people have felt their upper back, you know, feel pumped and tight after just back squatting it?
Right.
So the load's there, and so the tissues respond in kind by getting stiffer. That means that his T-spine, where his rib cage is, ends up getting stiff over a lifetime of being a power athlete. You know, Mark Bell was a world champion powerlifter.
Right.
You know, he's been lifting for a long time. Hinges at the only spot that can take the hinge, and suddenly we see a decreased position in the spine. He loses his capacity to stabilize the shoulder and ends up having a pec problem. So what do? We take that, we work on mobilizing the thoracic spine, and give him a better technique for his knees, because what was happening wasn't shoving his knees out in the bottom position like he was squatting. He was kind of caving his knees in like a terrible squat, which made it impossible for him to stabilize the trunk system.
Really? While he was bench pressing, yeah. You're saying?
You know, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we view the spine? Why wouldn't we take the same principles in squatting? They're the principles.
Screw the feet into the ground. Yeah, exactly.
Why, that's right. You know, this is why we put so many of our young ladies who are benching up on a plate, because they can't create any torque through the hip. So Mark benched 915, you know, I don't know, last year sometime. And someone's like, well, what did that feel like? And he was like, you know, it was really heavy. And they were like, well, what were you thinking about? And he was like, knees out. That's what I thought, knees out. And by shoving his knees out in the bench press, he was able to create a stable hip, which meant that he didn't hinge as much, and that meant he could control his shoulder.
I'll be damned.
And so, and this is a simple, simple way of starting to view the body. And so if I see you swinging a kettlebell, and I see you dissociate or break from the pelvis to the lumbar spine, that's no rep. That's a lost position. And remember, the gym is the laboratory. The gym is the place where not only I find out where you're weak, and I find out the positions you're weak, and I find out where your conditioning is terrible, but I also find out the positions that aren't integrated. Our hypothesis, look, I went to Westside, you know, had a lifetime PR on the squat, and I'm a terrible squatter. Mind you, I squatted 525, had 100 pounds of band tension on 120 pounds, right? I was squatting with the women and was the weakest person there.
Huh.
Laura Phelps jumped on my bar and tripled it just during her speed sets. And that was the moment I was like, I'm never going to make a powerlifter, right? And, you know, but if we can, you know, take these principles and concepts, you know, think about we're using the gym to improve the quality of our lives. I love weight training. Our listeners love weight training. Weight training makes us better men, better women, better husbands, better fathers, better moms. That means that it's not just about moving weight. It's about integrating myself and finding out these better positions. When we start looking at it that way, our hypothesis is this. You know, I train a lot of athletes who use the gym. They're not just powerlifters and weightlifters. They use the gym to improve their sport. And so our hypothesis is if you can maintain a better spinal position under or a good stable shoulder position under as many different constructs as I can throw at you, load, speed, cardiorespiratory demand, metabolic demand. Oh, you did that great for one rep? Good. Give me a 20-rep squat. You know, then that person who's the most robust across as many demands I can come up with turns out to usually be the safest athlete, the strongest athlete, they look best naked, and they never hurt. Nice,
right.
Huh?
Right. Very nice. Hey, are the Mobility Project video a day still available somewhere?
Oh, yeah. At Mobility Wad, we put everything out there. We have 550 videos up there. It's a little overwhelming. The search feature is good. Where we've generated a whole new search engine, new filters that are come out in about a week or so. But all of that stuff is archived there. It's a free resource. You know, my feeling is that it's a human right to be able to fix yourself. It's a human right to understand your mechanics. You shouldn't have to pay it. There are great practitioners around you who can help you when you get stuck. But don't you dare go see your chiropractor without having taken a crack at your problem first. You know, by the time when my athletes come to me, they're like, hey, you know, tell, you know, I think my anterior hip capsule's tight. I know that my adductor's a little short. I think my hip's glued down and my capsule's a little short of my ankle. What do you think the problem is? I'm like, okay, now we can have a conversation.
Right, right. Yeah, very, very cool. Good book. I like the book. I'm going to use it myself. The book is called Becoming a Supple Leopard. You can get it at Amazon.com. Didn't you say that it's like in the top selling list right now on Amazon.com and it was just released?
It came out yesterday, and we are beside ourselves. One is that, you know, anyone who's written a book will attest to the fact that if your goal is to make money, do not write a book. This is not a good use of your time. This is not, you know, go peddle. I mean, do anything else, but don't write a book. But what we do believe strongly in is that we can democratize this, that there are so many people working in their gyms, working at home in their garage, you know, come home, put their kids down, go out and bench press. This, they should be able to fix themselves, you know, without having to throw down for $1 billion. They don't have access to an Olympic training center. If we can get this book into their hands by just letting them know it exists, we think we can really change sort of the course of athletics and the course of strength and conditioning. My goal is that I think that the strength and conditioning coach is the center of healthcare for the future.
Yeah.
We can diagnose movement problems and predict movement problems and fix movement problems. I'm talking about ACLs and torn labrums and bad shoulders. We can fix that in the gym. Right now, our book is number 7 on the in the top 100, which is just insane. It's a book about weightlifting. I mean, Jesse Burdick is in there talking about bench pressing. If we've got that book behind Michael Pollan and the Great Gatsby, you know, we're something's happening. We're
right.
Waking up, and I'm so proud of the strength and conditioning community. They get it.
Yeah, no, this is excellent. Excellent book. Congratulations on this.
Thank you so much.
And I'm looking forward to using this book. So I'm looking forward to employing some of the techniques in this book to squeeze every drop of strength out of this old body. So I appreciate it.
I turned 40 this year. I couldn't agree more. You know, I probably didn't have the perspective to write this when I was 30. But 40, man, this isn't optional. You know, that's why they invented TV. For me, that's why they invented red wine. You know, I pour myself a glass of red wine. I start working on my hips. 15 minutes later, red wine is gone. I'm done. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
You know, and that leaves me, it frees me up to spend time with my kids. And what people don't understand is that magic hour in the gym is hard to carve out in your day. You should be training in there, not rolling around on a foam roller.
Right. Exactly. My thoughts exactly. Listen, Kelly, thanks so much for being on the show today, brother.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, and we'll see you guys in the gym.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. The book is called Becoming a Supple Leopard. Pick up a copy yourself. You know, if you're not investing in your training, you're not going to make any progress. This is a good investment right now, right here. Also, visit Brad Schoenfeld's website, Workout 911. During the first hour, we talked about looking good naked. Thanks so much for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells.